Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Today's show, we've got a great guest, one of my favorite coaches over the years, over the 30 years I've been covering high school football in Louisiana, David Feaster, the current head coach of Glenbrook High School in Mendon, Louisiana. David, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for that introduction.
Yeah, well, there's your introduction would take about an hour from when I met you way back. I know I met you. You were at Manny High School years ago.
Yeah.
And you did a great job there. I remember you had a running back by the name of Darnell Williams. That was really a great player.
Right.
And you, tell everybody, you're from South Louisiana, Coach. I mean, originally, you've been in North Louisiana for years, but tell everybody where you're from, South.
Yeah, so
Hey, Coach, you're going out on us there. Hello.
Sure, you're the best high school coach in the state or whatever. I always say you have to compare him to my dad, because if you could coach at my move back then, you know, and be successful, then I'll put you up there with the best of them. And there are some guys around coaching now that could do that. They could go anywhere and drop them anywhere, and they start coaching, and they get along with everybody, and they deal with all the hard stuff, and they coach. But there's some guys that have to be in exactly the right position. They have to have an all-star team. They have to have some kind of ownership in the school where they have complete control of the administration and all that. And my dad didn't have that. My dad, so still probably the best coach that I've ever been around with my dad. But grew up in Mamou and got to play for him there, and went to Louisiana Tech, and then just started coaching around after that.
Coach, whatever you do, don't move to another spot, because we lost you in the first few seconds, because you want to have a good signal there wherever you are. Don't move around too much, I guess, because you know, maybe in a tough spot there. But Coach, what do you think of North Louisiana now, man? It's been many years you've been up north, Manny, you know, then Parkway, and now,
yeah,
you know, Glenbrook. But you obviously love North Louisiana. You've raised your family there.
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, I went to Louisiana Tech and felt very – just love that. I compare to my time at Louisiana Tech to going to FCA camp for 4 years, because, you know, coming from South Louisiana, coming up here, you know, I was Baptist, I was a Christian, my relationship with the Lord meant everything to me, and I fit in a lot better up here. So anyway, I coached in South Louisiana for a good while too, and we kind of migrated my way up there this way. And so anyway, we've been very much going North Louisiana. My wife is from up here, and this is all my kids know.
Coach, you've been able to coach one of your sons. You got two kids on your team right now. I know you got a young son, Ty, but tell everybody about your senior football player. You said he's going to probably go to Louisiana College. The last time I talked to you, but you've got a 6'3", you know, 200-pound-plus son that plays a little tight end receiver for you, and what was it like coaching your boys now as a head coach?
Yeah, I think it was a lot more fun for me than it was for my dad. My dad had to endure a lot. You know, he talked about it with coaching me in high school, but these sons of mine are a lot better players than I was, and so it really was your past year. You know, Sammy, we've just been having a great year, both on offense and defense, and he did, but then when Ty started playing, he became our kicker in the season, and he did a great job with that. And so to have both of them contribute at the same time was really off the charts for me.
And you know, your oldest son is a senior, and what do you think of his upside? I mean, I watched him play. He's got a lot of size. He looks like he's going to keep getting bigger and bigger. I mean, he looks like he could weigh 220 in college easily, Coach.
Yeah, he actually weighed in at 220 the other day.
Oh,
he's continued to work here in the off season because he is anticipating going to play for Louisiana College. He's very excited about that. You know, now that they're NAIA school, they're able to offer some scholarships, and they don't have that many, but it really opens some doors for them to get some better football players around the state. And Coach Maddox and his staff are really doing a good job canvassing the area. And I know it's a complicated year because they're – you know, so many guys that are putting in a transfer portal. There's so many schools out there, Division I, Division II, that are having their seniors come back for an unprecedented fifth year.
Right.
And I know it's complicated, But Louisiana College is moving forward with all that. And Sam is really excited about it. He's excited about the opportunity to go over there and play some more. And I think his upside is big. They can, you know, it's up to them what they want to do. A lot of colleges take a guy and they make him bigger no matter what size he is. I always think you ought to try to take him and make him as fast as he can possibly be, you know.
Right.
But he's run, you know, about 4.7 now. He's gotten a little bit faster than that before he put on the extra 30 pounds. Because last year he played at about 185. And so he'd gotten where he was running consistently 4.6. But putting on an extra weight now, he's 4.7 or a little bit above. And anyway, we're excited. It's going to be fun to watch him, to have him still be in state here and be able to watch him play some more. And, we're just excited about everything that he has to look forward to.
Coach, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you more about Louisiana College and their scholarships, and also about how proud are you of Terrace Marshall? What he did at LSU and what his ability is for the NFL draft. And I know you coached a lot of great quarterbacks there, Wood T and Brandon Harris, a lot of great players. And you had a bunch of good receivers at Parkway. But we'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest is Coach David Feaster, head football coach at Glenbrook High School in Minden, Louisiana. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Before we get into talking about Glenbrook, I got a chance to see Glenbrook play. Coach enabled me to see some of his games. I watched some of his games this year. He's got some good-looking players coming up in the program. Coach, before we get back to your team, talk about Louisiana College. I mean, I know D2 has in the 30s on scholarships, but NAIA, how is that set up for scholarships for them? Is it in the 20s?
Yeah, it's in the 20s. I kind of know if it's 25, 28, something like that. And they can break them up some. So it gets kind of complicated.
Right.
I just know it's really working out well for us. And Sammy, of course, Sammy's got a 29 super score on the ACT and all that. So he's helping himself as well with some academic help at Louisiana College and all that. But and that's still what they're looking for. They're looking for really good students that want to go to LC.
Right.
But now, they can take some athletes that need the financial help. They can give it to them.
Yeah, I've helped a few go there for baseball and football. And Coach, what people don't understand, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's like putting a baseball team together in college. You know how they have to share the halves. But, hey, it's better than when they didn't have any, like you said.
Yeah.
Turning to your team, watching your team, I told you the other day I was very impressed with your team. And, I mean, y'all don't, when you play MAIS ball and not LHSA, and you're going to the LHSA, but – What is the factors that have changed for you as a coach? Because you come from Parkway where you had 100 players, and you had about 60 or 70, and you get to Glenbrook and you only have about, I think, 10 or 12 when you're trying to build it back. And this year you probably had about four in the 40s. But what was it like for you as a coach to be at a school now that you had to build the numbers up?
I've been to every school. Parkway is probably the only job I ever took that was fully renovated. Coach Kaplan has done a great job. Coach Bill, the year before I got there, and so Parkway was already going to be really good. They had some good players coming back, and so we were able to be good that first year and build from there. A lot of other programs that I went to had been kind of down for a little while. Had run through some hard times, and so I was kind of used to it. Now, maybe never quite to this extent.
Yeah.
It was hard. I mean, we had 18 players the whole season. We had seventh and eighth graders practicing with us just to have enough, just to have 22, 25 on the practice team. So, but the biggest surprise for me when I came here, I knew Glenbrook was going to be down. I knew they'd gone through some stuff and they lost a lot of people in the school and all that. But I thought everybody else believed was going to be mediocre too. And what I found out was, the people we played against were really good. Yeah. And I mean, they were really good, legitimate football players. And what had happened, I mean, when I got to basketball season, I realized what had happened. All those schools I was planning to play against are now playing 8-man football. And so the people that had the same enrollment issues as us and all that, they all dropped down to eight-man football, and there was nobody left to play up here in Louisiana that are in the MAIS. And so we're playing schools, you know, big schools in Mississippi, and those guys are good.
Yeah.
And so that first year really woke up. And the thing it did for us was it made us say, okay, we've got to step up our game. We've got to really work hard in the offseason and get better to be able to compete with those people. And so it's kind of a good thing in that regard, because it did stretch us and make us expand our horizons a little bit in the sense of let's get better. But it was kind of a shock. That first year was rough.
Yeah, Coach, tell everybody what it's like now to go. You're going to the LHSA this coming season, and I know you fired up about that, being a part of the Louisiana High School Association playing, you know, 1A football. I mean, you got to be excited. We talked about it. It's a big leap, but it's a good one.
Yeah, it really is. And when I came here, I was, I would say, almost almost reticent to go LHSAA or to push for that, because everybody knew I was a LHSAA guy from way back. And I didn't want anything that, I didn't want my personal preference to enter into it at all.
Yeah.
And once I got into MAIS, it's a great organization. They do a lot of really good stuff, and it's some good leadership. And so I was enjoying the MAIS, and I was content to stay there. It just got to where it was impossible. There is there is nobody to play in football in Louisiana in the MAIS. And so, you know, let me just go over our schedule, what we had to do this season. And part of it was because of the China virus and the issues that were put on us like that. But we went to Hillcrest Christian, which is in Jackson, Mississippi. We went to Parker's Chapel, Arkansas. Then we went to St. Joseph, which is Greenville, Mississippi. That's our district. That's 3.5 hours away, and they're good.
Yeah.
Cathedral is in Natchez, Mississippi. We went to Nike Dallas. We played an independent team out of Dallas. We went to Liberty, Mississippi to play Amit School Center. That's a 4-hour drive.
Man.
We went to Parker's Chapel, which is Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Good.
Then we had our only home game of the season. And I
kind of lost you there for Coach. Lost you there.
How about now?
You got you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just whine a little bit more with you about my schedule, because Greenville Christian it was one we had circled. We're going to be able to beat those boys this year because they lost. When I say they lost everybody, they started the first game, the first practice of the season, they had 8 guys out for practice. And then all of the schools, all the public schools around Greenville announced that Greenville Public Schools, Greenville Public Schools, and several other around there said, no, we're not playing football this year. And so all of their kids looked for a place to go, and the good players got out. You know, guys weren't very good. They didn't play any football this year. But the good players looked around at all the private schools, and Greenville Christian said, hey, look, I tell you what, we can make it to where it's really cheap for you to come here. You know, we'll work it out. And so they picked up 25 players, and when I say these guys were great, even the ones that weren't D1 players have been playing 4A football, in the public schools. And they came into our division, and they just completely dominated, and they won the state championship and all that. But that was our only home game of the season. And it was our homecoming, our senior night, and all that rolled into one. And our kids played the best game we had all season. They beat us like 60-something to 42, but we put up a good fight. It was a great deal for our program and all that, for our guys to show out. You know, nobody else has scored 20 points on, so for us to score 42 on them was kind of amazing. But it just reiterated how important it is to play at home, and how much our guys were looking forward to it. And when they had the opportunity, they really took advantage of it. But that was our regular season, and then we won, secured a home round, first-round playoff game at home, and we were able to beat a good Centerville team, but we just jumped on them. They never had a chance and beat them like 55-26, I think. And so for us to, get another home game and to really look good and win that game and all that, ended up making it a real special season for our guys when for a while it looked like we wasn't going to have a season at all, you know.
Yeah, Coach, I want to mention some of you guys, and this is not talking prospects or anything. Just mention your guys that played for you. Maddox Mandino, receiver, strong safety, number 7, really good young athlete for you.
Yeah, look, hey, let me just – I'm not going to stop you on every one of them if you don't want me to, but
yeah.
Maddox, he got hurt 3rd game of the season. He broke his leg, and we played the rest of the year without him. But you're right. He was one of our key guys. So the play, he got hurt on, he was going to be one of our best receivers, but he was also starting a corner. And he picked it off down at the goal line and ran it all the way back to about the 5-yard line and got kind of tackled from behind and broke his leg. But playing without him all season really hurt us. So we're looking forward to seeing him in baseball this spring and having him back for two more years.
Yeah, and you got a senior, big offensive lineman, number 73. I think he's a sleeper, Coach. He might be going to Louisiana College with your son. Colton Bornlaw, yeah. Man, 6'4", 310, big lineman. It's got a little bit of ability for the next level, Coach.
Yeah, he's excited about going to Louisiana College. He committed to them the other day, and that's where he wanted to go. He wanted to go play for Coach Maddox there, and I think it's going to be a really good opportunity for him because, you know, he's always going to be that size. And he was a great lineman for us, and I think he's going to be really good for them, too.
Another young player for you, number 4, who I think's got a lot of room to fill out, as you know, you coach him, Kel Hollis, linebacker, tight end for you.
Yeah, he was one that he played guard for us the first couple of years, and we moved him to tight end because he just continued to work in the all season. And even though he was getting bigger in such a way that he was getting leaner and he's getting faster. And he's a great baseball player. He's a really good pitcher as well as a hitter. But he's just a good athlete. And so we're excited to see, you know, down the road, projecting 2 or 3 years from now, I would say he and his family probably always envisioned him playing college baseball. But it's a possibility that he could be a football player as well.
Yeah, he's a good-looking player. And another kid that played for you, quarterback, Jackson Powell. Jackson was a good player for you this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's undersized. If he was the right size, he would be playing college quarterback someplace because he played really 4 years over here. He played a little bit as a freshman, but he definitely started since we got here. 10th, 11th, 12th grade, he was a starting quarterback and played just about every snap over there. And he's got the ability to run the ball as well. He's got a real quick release and throws it well off. But he also is planning to go to Louisiana College and probably as a defensive back. Because he's turned into a really good athlete. He's bought into the all-season program, and he's stronger and he's faster. And he did have a great season for us.
Yeah, he's a quick kid. You know, he's one of those 4'6 guys for you. A young guy on O-line, Luke Venning, he had a good year. I saw he's a good blocker for the build around your O-line coming back. Luke looked pretty good, number 54.
Right. Luke Venning is a guy that we could, always depend on. He's just a great coachable guy, very seldom says a word, but now he's starting to take on the leadership now that the older guys have moved on. But he plays offense, defense. He's very smart and he's very coachable. And yeah, he's going to be a fine player. His parents are real tall too. So we're hoping he gets even taller.
A couple of guys that are getting there, that are going to be good players for you coming back is Chase Sentinel and also DJ Carter. And then you got Hayden Giblin, you got, Jacob Hartman. Yeah. Here's guys that just need to stay in that weight room and just keep working hard, huh, Coach, to get better for you for next year.
That's right, and they're all on it right now, and they're all doing a really good job right now. You know, we got big plans for DJ. Just his athletic ability in basketball right now is really sharp, and he's having a great time in that. But he's got tremendous potential for us as far as a running back and receiver. And Gillen and Hartman are going to be the anchor of our line next year. Those are the big guys, and so we're really counting on them. And Chintel is another one of those guys that's undersized right now, but he's fast and he's going to get bigger and he's going to get better, and so he's going to be special.
Coach, you've got a pretty good size offensive lineman for that league. I was impressed. The starting five. They average probably 250 pounds as a group. Pretty good group for you this past year, though, line.
It was, and it's unusual for us. We just kind of hit it to where we had, some pretty big guys, and a couple guys came in and decided they'd play football this year, and so end up being a pretty good size, you know. Now, some of the people we play against were outsized and outmanned us a little bit. Like I said, the competition was a little bit bigger than I expected here. But they were, and that's, you know, next year we might be a little bit smaller because we definitely are losing some of our size.
Yeah, another kid, Hayden Harmon, good player for you, number 44, a young kid coming back. And Coach,
he's had injury trouble. Yeah, but he's our top linebacker. He's really something.
Look, I've seen these teams play even before I watched your film, like St. Joseph's and Centerville, the team you beat. Look, Centerville, the team you beat, was a pretty good program. They've been known to produce players to college, and I mean, These Mississippi teams, they're. I told people the other day, Coach, people don't understand it. You do. I do. But these Mississippi private schools and these small leagues are super talented in Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And the ones that we always thought were kind of like, I would say Bush League, you know, I know that's insulting, but those guys aren't there anymore. The majority of those are now playing eight-man football.
Yeah.
And they're really enjoying eight-man football. They're making a game out of it. They have a state championship and the whole thing. So they're not, the ones that went down are not coming back up to 11-man football. But that kind of takes away the guys that are just kind of struggling to put programs together and all that. So if you're going to play, you know, because we're the smallest classification, we only had, you know, when they did the reclassification, we only had, I think, 30 boys in the high school.
Yeah.
So we're in the smallest classification, but some of the people that we're having to play against are really good football teams. And, you know, in the private schools, as you know, from Louisiana too, private schools can do whatever they want to. They can be whatever they want to.
Right.
And, you know, at Glenbrook, we were here to go to school and give kids a good quality education and a good safe place to go to school and all that. But some of the schools just make a decision, hey, we're going to get good at football. And they find the guys and they bring them in and they can. And so that's what you have to deal with. There's going to be some really good teams at every level over there in the private school division in the MAIS.
Coach, we're going to take a break. We'll come back for our final segment. We're going to ask you about how Brandon Harris is doing as a coach, I think, in Texas right now, and Terrace Marshall, and how Woodtie's doing, I believe, in college ball, and how you guys are doing. We'll be right back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest is Coach David Feaster, the head football coach at Glenbrook High School in Minden, Louisiana. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Hi, everyone. Back with Coach Feaster. We lost Coach with the signal. You know, when you're on a cell phone at school in a building with metal and everything, Coach, stuff happens, huh, Coach? But we're going to talk about
it. Yeah, it does. Sorry about that.
But it's the whole life of the cell phone. I mean, I've got spots in my house. My phone goes out in my own house, and I forget, you know, like if I go to my kitchen, I forget and it goes out when I'm talking to somebody. I got to walk into my living room. But, Coach, we're talking about Terrace Marshall. Now, you know, he didn't play but basically three quarters of the season. He had a great year this year, and he didn't finish the season, but he had a phenomenal career at LSU. And he's going to be drafted, you know, anywhere in the first, second round. And we'll see how that works out with, you know, where he's at and all this. But what do you think of Terrace Marshall and what he was able to do at LSU? I mean, he got a national championship ring. And, you know, when he signed with LSU, when he played for you at Parkway, they were not doing so well. And it was great to see LSU get a national championship when he was there. Hey, Coach.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Okay, what do you think of Terrace Marshall?
Terrace was always a great guy. He was always a person that everybody in the town, everybody in the community pulled for. Even the people that played against him appreciated him because he never taunted, he never celebrated too much and all that. And so when he had his injury that senior year, you know, that was really rough, but we were all pulling for him. And so very excited for him and the progress he's made and the season that he was able to get over there with a national championship was just off the charts. And we're excited about the possibilities for him in the NFL.
You had three great quarterbacks at Parkway, Coach. Justin Rogers that signed with TCU, you know, Keandre Woodtie signed with Oklahoma State, and then obviously Brandon Harris, LSU. Coach, what do you think of Brandon Harris as a coach? You're a coach.
Can you
critique him as a coach? I know he's coaching at UT right now in Texas.
I would add, too, Kobe Copeland was there my first year, and he was a great quarterback, too, and he went on. You know, got drafted by Major League Baseball and all that. So it was an unprecedented, amazing run of quarterbacks that we had there. And they were a lot of fun to coach, and they were all good guys. And especially, you know, so Brandon, you're asking as a coach, he was built to coach. And he's the first thing you notice about him, he's so personal. He's so intelligent. He does so well with his communication skills. He does great calling people back and keeping up with people. And so all the things that go into making a great recruiter and a great coach, Brandon's got him. And so So his upside is huge over there. And he's been having a great time at Texas. He's met some great people. Stan Drayton is the running back coach. That's the guy he spends the most time with. And Stan is going to be retained, going to be associate head coach. And so Brandon has a real good chance of staying on there a little bit longer. Meanwhile, he's making contacts all over the place. And you know, the good thing about the unfortunate thing about coaches getting fired is that they move on. But the good thing about it is now Brandon has, you know, some good contacts with guys that are all over the place,
right,
that are going to land other good jobs. And so anyway, it's just a matter of time before we hear about him being a coordinator or something like that in some big conference. And he's going to do really well and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, where he's at right now, this is what, his third year as a grad assistant. So he's at that year where he should be getting a job offer somewhere, like you said, at least as a receivers coach or something before he becomes a coordinator. But I wouldn't be, you know, like you said, I wouldn't be shocked to see someone hire him full time for next season. And what about Woodty, Coach? I know Woodty left Oklahoma State. Is he somewhere right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Northern Arizona. We're excited about it. Northern Arizona has 6 games on the schedule this spring.
Okay.
And so, and Woodty should be the starter there. And so he's going to get a chance to play some big time football. And so, you know, very good. Well, also a very good character guy, and you know, just a great quarterback that really hadn't got a chance to show all his skills yet, but hoping it's going to happen for him in Northern Arizona.
And I know Justin Rogers had signed with TCU. Coach, he was going there, UNLV at one point, but what is Justin doing now, Justin Rogers?
Yeah, UNLV, and so I don't know exactly what the status of all that is, whether he's having a lot of fun. I hadn't talked to him or his dad since this season started. And so, but he, you know, had a good experience at TCU and had some real good friends and contacts there, and then had a chance to go and do the Las Vegas thing. And so, again, another really good guy, and excited to see what the future holds for him.
And Coach, you coached a great safety that's at Mississippi State that's had a great career.
Yeah, CJ Morgan. He had injury trouble. He had a very, very, very serious injury. You know, tore up just about everything in his knee. And he's just now probably full speed recovered from that. And so got to play a little bit in the bowl game. And but he was on his way to a fantastic career there. And he really liked the other coaching staff. But when Coach Leach and then those guys came in, they really treated CJ well, too. And they looked at him as a real leader on that defense. And so he really liked Coach Leach and that staff as well. And again, you know, people don't realize, you know, I got one more guy I don't know if you can ask about, Octavius Lynn.
Yeah, tied in TCU.
An amazing story. Got a degree from TCU. You know, his freshman year in high school, he was ineligible for us because of academics and all that, but he went on to get a degree from TCU. All these stories are amazing in a sense of, you know, the amount of education that these guys are able to get, as well as the incredible relationships and they have formed, and over the years, they will always have guys, you know, that they're texting and social media and keeping up with that are some amazing people. The coaches and the players that they've been around are going to be guys that's going to be, it's going to be some special relationships for years to come. And so, it really has been exciting for me to see all these guys succeed in so many different ways.
Coach, CJ Morgan, speaking of him, the DB at Mississippi State that played for you at Parkway, I think he's one of the best players in the country, one of the best safeties. Will he use his extra year because he's a senior? You think he'll go back to state?
Yeah, he may. At the time, I know a year ago they had him projected maybe like a fourth round or something like draft. So he was projected to be, very considered in the NFL draft. I don't know what that status is right now. And I'd say that'll probably weigh heavily into his decision if the injury would have dropped him down and all that. He may look at that. I hadn't talked to him about it, so I couldn't tell you. I couldn't answer the question for me and all that, but it's a great question, and I know a lot of guys are having to make that decision right now.
What do you think of the transfer portal, Coach, and then people opting out? What's your thoughts on that? I know that it's crazy. It's crazy right now. I mean, if you're a coach in college, you've been coaching over 30 years, high school football.
Yeah.
And you're trying to coach a team, and it's week 8. And this is a question for you just with all of football, not Marshall, it's everybody.
Yeah.
What I mean, if you don't play, and if 5 of your guys don't play the final 3 games, and you're trying to win games, I mean, it's tough.
Okay, I'm going to give you an honest answer to that question, that and you may not like it. About 5 years ago, there was never a sport in the history of the world that was more popular than college football, and it was going great. You, the media, and you can take your share of the responsibility and how you want to for that, but the media demanded that the whole season be about the national championship and nothing else matters, and so we had to have a playoff committee. We already had BCS. We already had an objective way of choosing the two teams that played in the BCS. We all had an amazing bowl schedule. But as soon as we came to this playoff committee and everybody said the only thing that matters is who won the national championship, then there's two terms that came up that we had never heard before. The first one was a Power 5 conference. I had never heard of a Power 5 conference before. But all of a sudden, Louisiana Tech was mathematically eliminated from the national championship. A season never began. And so was Cincinnati and Central Florida and University of Houston and all those other people that hoped to win a national championship. They were out there, they could play football, they weren't going to win a national championship no matter what they did during the season.
Right.
So I was definitely against that. The other thing that came up was meaningless bowl games. We had never thought of the term meaningless bowl games before. Mm-hmm. Bowl game was a tremendous reward for the players. The players would get to go, they give them a recliner, they give them a watch, they give them all kind of stuff, they give them a week on the beach, they give them a week of concert, all kind of stuff, and the bowl game was a tremendous reward for these players. And now you, the media, are saying, well, why should they play? They might get hurt. Why should they play? Hey. And so we started this opt-out stuff. Okay, go ahead.
I wasn't one of those guys, by the way.
So. Okay, good, good. Yeah, well, so, you know, the Leonard Fournette and all those guys opting out of the bowl game, and it was just a matter of time. It was a matter of time before you said, okay, if you don't have a chance to win the national championship, why should you play the 12th game of the season? Why should you play the 9th? And why play any of them? If you already have, you know, why should you play at all? If you're Chase, you know, why don't just sit out the whole season? You're going to get drafted first or second anyway. Why not just sit out and just take care of yourself? And it's a terrible trend. And it's all because we have said the only thing that matters is the national championship. So Alabama never has anybody opt out. The Clemson doesn't have anybody opt out, but everybody else will when they see they don't have a chance. And I guess it's a matter of time before people say, okay, if you're not going to win the state championship in high school, why bother with the last game of the season if you already have your scholarship offer? Just go on and play college football, man. Take care. It's a terrible trend. So you know, I don't want to talk about it specifically with my guys transferring or opting out or anything like that. Right. But it's a terrible trend, and I would hate to be coaching college football now where you have to recruit your own players to come back for another year. No, don't go transfer someplace else. Stay here because maybe we'll win a national championship. No, it's got to be terrible for those.
Yeah. Coach, I'm glad you said that, but I just want you to know, you've known me for a long time. I'm not a normal media guy. You know, I'm a scout.
There you go. That,
and I'll protect the bowl games. I've been preaching on this show that I'm upset with the trend. You know, I've always promoted all the bowl games, and I told, look, on this show a month ago, I said, you know, just what you hit on, and I'm glad you said it. When you say bowl games aren't meaningful, it becomes not meaningful, like you said. And the TV, the guys on TV, you know, those are the guys that, you know, everybody gets programmed by, you know, these college game day guys that just say, okay, we're going to have a 1 week preview on the national championship game, like the Super Bowl now. And we're going to have a 1 week preview on four teams. And then, you know, we're going to put the Independence Bowl. We're not even going to promote it like we used to. Or we're not going to, if you're not in the Fiesta Bowl, like you said, or the Cotton. Oh, by the way, the Cotton's not a major deal anymore. Oh, they're not. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We've got to change it. And I'm on your side with this. I'm on college football side because I don't like it. And I think people need to stop, you know, underestimating the how great it is. I was saying it 2 weeks ago. I mean, like you said, you get watches, you get to be with your teammates, to eat 3 days a week, and I mean for a week, where if you're in Tampa or, you know, out in Orlando, Florida with Mickey Mouse or whatever. But like you said, it was a big deal. And young kids, if you listen to the show, it's still a big deal, right, Coach?
Yeah,
it's still a big deal.
Yeah, 100%. The community, the fans, we still feel the same as Lois has. And that's why we're all mad, too, about everything that happens on the committee. Because every time the committee comes out and says, oh, okay, you know, we lost Archie Manning, and so we just lost the guy in the South. And so, you know, the Big Ten is more. And every time the Big Ten changes their rules just so they can put Ohio State in, and the committee says, okay, they just played five or six games, but they still make the playoffs, and somebody else doesn't. Cincinnati's games don't really matter. And because, you know, it's stupid. It's stupid. You got to live with actual people that are making these decisions, and these are not, you know, and they're the best people they can find. I'll give you that. They're not terrible people by any stretch.
Right,
but even if you or I were on the committee, we would have some natural biases. And and it would be, there's no way that we could do a good, whatever. It should be just an objective system. And it shouldn't have to come down to a handful of people and who's talking the loudest in the room or whether to say something. It's all ridiculous. And the average fan knows that. And they're losing some of the faith in college football. And like I said, again, there was no sport ever that was so popular as college football was just a few years ago, you know, and I hope there's some way to get it back. Because from both ends, from watching it as well as from sending players to it, it was just an amazing sport, and I hope we can get it back.
Coach, let me ask you this. Let me give you my opinion. Let's get rid of the playoffs. How about that? Let's get rid of it, and let's go back to, like, you know, the best team wins the national championship at the end of the year. Let's get rid of this four-team deal. And people say, let's do eight. No, you're making it worse. You're making it worse now.
Oh, it's coming. And that's what I said early on, is it's just a matter of time, because everybody's going to be so upset about the four they choose. They're going to go to eight, and then they're going to go. It's not going to stop at eight. They're going to end up. It's going to end up being college basketball. And you know what? Nobody watches a regular season game anymore in college basketball. Why bother? Just wait till you get to the tournament, because everybody's going to make the tournament. And so, that's college football to become that. Right now, every game in college football matters. You know, and so that's right now, or at least a year ago, a few years ago, it did. And so you're right. The trend is going to be, it's just a matter of time before they go to eight. They argue about it every year, and it's just a matter of time, and it's going to be terrible.
And, Coach, by the time that we're no longer on Earth in, like, 2090 or something, they're going to have probably 37 teams in the playoffs for football.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Regular season won't matter. LSU's already in the playoffs, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
find somebody to play.
As long as there's money and ratings on TV or whatever, you know, that's all they, you know what I mean? But, Coach, appreciate you being on. We were able to pull it off. I know that, you know, hey, we beat those dead spots in that building, man. We won. So,
there we go, yeah.
And, look, any final words from you as far as Glenbrook and how people can come see your team play? And it's in Mendon, Louisiana. If you're not from Shreveport, listen to the show. Mendon is right, not far from Bossier City, Louisiana. But, Coach, any final thoughts about Glenbrook? And are you probably getting ready for spring pretty soon, huh? Spring football?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're going to have we anticipate having a great baseball season. You know, we won state here in softball a year ago. We were runner-ups this year. We won state in girls' cross country 2 years in a row. We won state in baseball this year, got a good chance. So there's, you know, we're having a good time. It's a good place to go to school and all that. But we're looking forward next year to going to I've got my football schedule up on the board right now. We open up with River Oaks, used to be an MAIS team like us.
Yeah.
And then our district is Calvary, Lincoln Prep, Homer, Magnolia Charter, Haynesville, Plain Dealing, Ringgold, and Arcadia.
Whoa.
And, So, you know, we're looking forward to developing some local rivalries. Ringgold is right down the road. Homer and Haynesville aren't far away. And so there's some schools that are close to us, Arcadia, that we're looking forward to developing some rivalries over there, because I've learned rivalries is a big part of the excitement of high school sports, and especially football. And we haven't had it the last couple of years. All of our schools come from 3 hours away. Our fans don't even know who they are, but we're going back to LHSAA now. We're going to the LHSAA, and we're going to start developing some rivalries with all those schools I just mentioned.
And, Coach Feaster, you save a lot of gas money for your program this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Our fans will be excited about it as anybody to be able to travel and watch us play.
Well, we're going to promote Glenbrook in our upcoming season. Coach, it'll be 25 years the magazine this summer, 25 years. So you've been a part of all 25. Coach, don't hang up.
I think so.
Don't hang up. I'm going to end the show, but don't hang up. Everybody go to LAFootballMagazine.com. We've got some great stories this week. Jace Lejeune has written on some teams in the state, four different articles this week. Matthew Remede is our big article coach from Ascension Episcopal in Youngsville. You know where Youngsville is. 6'4", 235-pound DN tight end that runs a 4.6 40 1A, Class 1A, Ascension Episcopal, diamond in the rough. His brother plays for Tulane as an offensive lineman, 6'3", 280. Going to be a starter next year. But we'll see you next week. Everybody have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.